Welcome back to In the Moment. Today's international coding competition in Rapid City and recent hacking incidents have more people looking at coding. It provides the scaffold for computers and smartphones and apps. How do people learn coding and what should they learn? When should kids start programming? SDPB's Keely Platina takes you into the coding classroom.
The room is warm. It's afternoon, the school year draws to a close, and sixth grader Addison Moot plays a video game.
I'm trying to jump and like get on the icebergs, but it's really hard because like there's like little evil penguins or something, and if you get hit 5 times by them, then you lose lives, and you can like gain lives back too. So I just died.
Moot sits in her Patrick Henry Middle School classroom. 2 dozen kids appear to shirk their educational responsibilities, but they're learning to design video games. Jason Whiting teaches this class.
In sixth grade, they spend a lot of time learning the context of different languages. And so our main focus is Python. They're doing it through a game-based program that we use called Code Combat, where they have to solve a problem, and they have to physically write the code to make their avatar do whatever they want them to do.
Whiting says technology works because people write the instructions for equipment. He says sixth graders learn to process and strategize. They compile commands that direct a warrior on the screen to shiny blue gems.
Write it, and then run, see if it works. If it doesn't, they realize, okay, here's the problem, they go back and fix their code. And then they get the bonuses at the end for that clean code. They really want, that's what they're trying to get, because they want to get as many gems as they can.
So what we're going to do is we're going to type in just an H, and then it'll have hero.moveup, hero.movedown, hero.moveleft, and hero.moveright. And so it wanted to go down, so then you'll click go down, and then hit run. And then he'll run to the right, and then down.
Anthony Edwards demonstrates his tactics. One side of his screen displays his game board. On the other side, he selects programming code.
If you were in the hero's arms, if you can actually were him, you would figure like move right, move down, move up again, and then move right.
Edward stops midway through to help a classmate. Whiting encourages his students to collaborate. He says most middle schoolers enjoy video games, so he engages them in creating their own.
So that first command that I typed in there, that GCC hello.c, that basically compiles it. So it goes through and it says, hey, all your code's really good. So the big mistake that most of our students make is they forget a semicolon when they first start off, right?
And what happens when they forget the semicolon?
Oh, it's bad. Bad news there. So I'll quickly.
Rob Hanemichael is an instructor at Dakota State University in Madison. He removes one semicolon from one line of programming he types.
Right? And so when we recompile it, it says, hey, there's an expected semicolon inside there. You forgot something. That's the number one error.
Hanemichael teaches new college kids how to code. South Dakota has K-12 standards for technology, but none for computer science. He answers honestly when asked whether students are prepared for coding in higher education.
No. Some are, some aren't, right? It depends on what school they came from. You know, all the Sioux Falls schools offer AP computer science. So if we get a student that comes out of that program in TARS, they're ahead of a lot of students. We have students that come from very small schools or out of state that may or may not have programming involved inside of it. So then you kind of hope that they just have the desire to learn how to do it.
A Darth Vader figure looms in his office as Hanemichael explains that students don't necessarily need extensive coding training.
I've had some of my best students be the ones that have never programmed before. They'll take it in, they'll think about it, they'll process it. It's those logic skills, it's that breaking down a problem type things that is the ideal student.
He says he spends time reversing bad habits self-taught students have, and some students are sloppy.
Attention to detail is huge. About the first couple weeks of class, everybody does that. So they put in a U, right? Because like STDIO looks like studio. And so just our brains, right, tell us to like type that in, and then they get a big error.
But I did everything right.
Right, right. That's what I meant for it to do, right? So it's like, it's not like writing an English paper where it's like, well, you get what I mean, which we do. We understand what you mean, but the computer's so stupid that it doesn't actually understand what you're doing.
Hanemichael says coding is a more hip, cool term for computer programming.
It takes a little bit more away from the programming being scary and nerdy and makes it a lot cooler.
Right. Like, you don't have this immediate image of, like, people who are mostly antisocial with glasses and bad hair sitting there crouched over a computer in a dark room.
That is very accurate to the stereotype, but I don't think we see that, right? Like, I have a daughter who's in third grade who loves to just get on code.org and do different things.
Hannah Michael says students exposed to coding in their elementary, middle, and high school classes prove that you don't need to be a nerd to code. Sixth grade teacher Jason Whiting looks over his student's shoulder. Anthony Edwards names his video game No Fall Damage. He wants players to think a fall is failure. Edwards smirks and walks his avatar off a ledge. He passes the level.
You could literally just go with that.
You put a cheat right in the game.
Yep.
Might be the first time I've seen that. He added a little tiny subtlety that you're not going to notice.
Yep.
To try.
So I put two sections of goal blocks. And so this is the way that most people would think of. Is just doing
Edward
this.
Says he's still planning his future. He and Addison Moot say that may involve code.
If I end up to be a computer person or something like Mr. Whiting is doing, then I'm going to need all these skills, so I'm glad that I have this class.
Do you think you'll end up being a computer person, or do you have different dreams?
I have different dreams.
Moot wants to be a cosmetologist. Her teacher, Jason Whiting, says coding can serve her. He says that job outside of information technology requires Moot to recognize clients' problems and solve them.
I mean, I got a four-year-old daughter who is into programming, but she doesn't know it. She likes puzzles. She sees a problem. She's got to find the right piece to fit. That's all computer programming is.
Whiting says kindergarten teachers can expose kids to code, so they establish a foundation for critical thinking to leverage later. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Keely Boltina in Sioux Falls.
Teachers at Patrick Henry Middle School emphasize that students should be responsible digital citizens. Sioux Falls School District leaders are specifically integrating coding. This fall, three elementary schools are set for computer science immersion programs. That means children have at least 30 minutes of coding work each day, and teachers incorporate instruction that relates to programming. SDPB's Keely Boltina talks with Superintendent Brian Maher about the connection between education and changing trends in technology.
As a school district, we've tried to figure out how to engage our community in areas of interest. Some people are interested in the typical comprehensive elementary experience, and we have a number of opportunities for those. Some people are very interested in a very parent-oriented, parent-focused participation in the elementary process. We have all city elementary for that. Some parents want their students to have a real expanded arts program. We have an opportunity for that at Eugene Field. Some folks want their students to be very challenged academically. We have the Challenge Center for those folks. Some folks want their students to learn another language at a very young age. We have the Spanish immersion program for them. So this is kind of keeping in line with what can we offer the community in terms of a different elementary school experience. So that's one thing. It stays consistent with the number of offerings. Another thing is we're looking for equitable access to our specialized programs. We have that to a small degree in our other programs. We'll have it to a much larger degree in this program. And here's what I mean by that. Compared to our entire K-5 student population, a small number of free and reduced price lunch students are in our specialized programs. Oh, when we implement computer science immersion at Hayward and at Lowell and at Annie Sullivan, those numbers will go up tremendously. So we'll have a great deal of access from a socioeconomic standpoint. Also from an ethnic standpoint, from an ethnicity perspective, we'll have a much greater diversity of student population in our computer science immersion program than we do in the combination of our other specialized programs. So equity and access was really important to us as well. And then another thing that I would point to is really filling a skills gap, both in the city but nationally, when it comes to technology jobs and the future of jobs, both in the city of Sioux Falls, the state of South Dakota, But nationally and globally, we think our students will really be able to compete well with the skills that we'll begin providing them as a kindergartner.
I hear you talk about a skills gap and about what's needed nationally and internationally in the job market, but you're right, we are dealing with kindergartners. I mean, is it your role to start kindergartners and first graders on a path toward what they're going to do in 20 years?
No, but what is our role is to begin kindergartners to know how to think critically and to make good decisions. And what we'll be teaching, we won't be teaching kindergartners how to program in Java. They won't end their kindergarten year and know how to program in any language. But maybe through a series of Lego drills, or believe it or not, playing chess blindfolded, all of those things that you wouldn't see as computer programming skills. But all of those things are critical thinking skills that we'll be teaching at the elementary level. We won't be pigeonholing our students so that they have one specific skill and they hope 18 years from now that that skill is marketable. That won't be what we're doing. What we will be doing is we'll continue to teach reading and math and science and social studies. We'll continue to make sure they have great experiences in the arts, but we'll also make sure that they have a lot of experience and exposure to critical thinking activities. And those skills are transferable.
Is this the right way to respond to the trends? Or is the school a place where you're insulated from some trend lines and where you really do hold on to those core education principles? Or is it a combination?
It really is a combination. Your questions, I would say yes and yes. We do respond to trends. We really do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have technology in our schools at all. So we certainly respond to trends. The other thing that I would say is I don't think it is in a school's best interest to provide too narrow of a path for a student. So we want to make sure that our kids, even though they go through computer science immersion elementary school, still can be things well beyond the scope of a computer science person. They can be an engineer, they can be a doctor, they can be a lawyer, they can be a teacher, they can be they can be a contractor, they can build houses, they can do any number of things. But hopefully what we're teaching them in terms of critical thinking, in terms of knowing how to move from one set of decisions to another set of decisions, knowing what cause and effect means, that while they're learning computer science skills, that those will be transferable into many, many, many other walks of life.
Does this sort of activity rewire children's brains, or does it access patterns and opportunities that traditional other systems just haven't needed to?
I think what it really does is engages kids. So I don't know that it rewires, because we'll be dealing with students at such a young age, but hopefully that it wires their ability to think. I've done a little research recently on learning a second language and what that does for your ability to process and make decisions throughout your life. And I think learning a computer science language is very much the same thing, where our kids will become fluent in Java by the time they're finish their elementary careers, that I think that decision-making process will help them more than anything else. I don't know that they'll be any better at understanding the Pythagorean theorem. I don't know that they'll be any better at reciting the Gettysburg Address, but I think their ability to take the Pythagorean theorem and take the content of the Gettysburg Address and use those in some sort of applicable way, I think their decision-making skills will help them at that point.